بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو حي لا يموت، بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحاب سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. نسألك ألا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا همّا إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته وأديته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة يا لك رضا إلا قضيتها لنا يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. منزول بك كل حاجة يا رب العالمين يا أرحم الراحمين. والله فجب وسن، oh Allah, forgive all our sins. Oh Allah, this month of Ramadan is fast coming to an end, Ya Allah. We have not done what we're supposed to do, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are banking on your mercy, Ya Allah. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. We have read in the Quran Kareem that you are Arhamar Rahimeen, Ghafoorur Rahim, Ya Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive this. The sins of our children, our parents, our spouses. Ya Allah, our asatiza, our mashayikh. Ya Allah, forgive the sins of the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, you make sattari of our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make sattari of our sins, Ya Allah. Ya sattar al-uyub. Ya Allah, you are ghaffar al-dhunub. Ya Allah, if you are not going to forgive, who is going to forgive? Ya Allah, we have learned from our seniors that you love those who come to your door and knock on your door, Ya Allah. And I beg for forgiveness. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, forgive us all, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, day and night, Ya Allah, we sin knowingly and unknowingly. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, you know us better than ourselves, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive every sin of ours. Ya Allah, you forgive every sin of ours, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, we have come here, Ya Allah, to gain your proximity, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, don't let us go empty-handed, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram, open up our hearts towards guidance, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, through your mercy, Ya Allah, open up our hearts towards guidance, Ya Allah, towards Sirat al-Mustaqim, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us steadfast on Sirat al-Mustaqim, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, you become ours and make us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you become ours and make us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, the ummah at large, Ya Allah, is in difficulty, Ya Allah. Wherever our brothers and sisters are, Ya Allah, you make it easy for them. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, the mujahideen, Ya Allah, you make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them victory, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant, Ya Allah, your name, Ya Allah. You bring it up again, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, those of our brothers and sisters that are languishing in the jails and prisons, Ya Allah, you give them izzat again, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them freedom, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, grant our Muslim leaders hidayat, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, grant our Muslim leaders hidayat, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, grant the Muslims izzat, Ya Allah. Grant us izzat, Ya Allah. Save us from zillat, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, you make us yours, you become ours, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, those amongst us who are unwell, Ya Allah, you grant them shifa, kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, Ya Dal Jalali Rikram, grant our parents the best in this dunya, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, when the time of our maut comes, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, you grant us kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ya Allah, you make our qabr asan for us. Ya Allah, you make our sawalat in the qabr asan for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make hashar asan for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you save us and protect us, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Ya Allah, you grant us a shade under your arsh, Ya Allah. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, enter us into Jannah without any hisab kitab. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, grant us a sifarish of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, on that day, don't make Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam say that this person is not from our from my ummah, Ya Allah. Let him not chase us away on that day, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, just as you make sattari in this world, Ya Allah, make sattari in the akhirah also, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, make our sattari there also, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us from amongst those who you changed evil deeds to good deeds, Ya Allah. The day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, change our evil deeds to good deeds, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, we beg from you your mercy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we beg from you your mercy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us hidayat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us good akhlaq, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us narmi in our akhlaq, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, grant us akhlaq kareema, akhlaq hamida, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, those amongst us, Ya Allah, who want to get married, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, find them suitable spouses, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make them also suitable to their spouses, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, those in any difficulty, Ya Allah, marital difficulty, Ya Allah, take them out of the difficulty, Ya Allah. You shower them with your mercy, Ya Allah, and put muhabbat in those homes again, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, those of us, Ya Allah, amongst that, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, that have that one children, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, you grant them pious offspring, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them pious offspring, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, those who are expecting, Ya Allah, whichever family is expecting, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, grant them offspring that are healthy, normal. Ya Allah, make them the coolness of the eyes of the parents, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, make us the coolness of the eyes of Mufti Saab, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Ya Allah, make us the coolness of the eyes of our Akabirin, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, change our hearts, Ya Allah. You are Muqallib al-Qulub, Ya Allah, you are Muqallib al-Qulub. Ya Allah, you are Muqallib al-Qulub. Turn our hearts towards you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, what is difficult, Ya Allah, for you, Ya Allah? There is nothing difficult for you, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, you love when those who try and come, Ya Allah. Those who crawl towards you, Ya Allah, you come towards them running, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, we haven't even come crawling, but we have at least, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, we're trying to make a small, meager effort, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, with your shan, Ya Allah, you look at it with your shan, Ya Allah, and you accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, you accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, those amongst us who are maqrooz, Ya Allah, take them out of the qaraz, Ya Allah, with izzat and afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, grant us izzat and afiyat in our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, grant us fana'iyat, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, save us and protect us from all kinds of spiritual maladies and sicknesses, Ya Allah, from hatred, from ghibat, Ya Allah, from slander, whatever other spiritual sicknesses there are, Ya Allah, you save us and Ya Allah, you protect us and clean our hearts from that, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, you become pleased with us, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, let Ramzan not finish, and Ya Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah, before the end of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Let us be from amongst those who are forgiven, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us be from amongst those who are forgiven, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, grant us akhlaq, Ya Allah, grant us ikhlas, Ya Allah. Grant us ikhlas, Ya Allah. O my Allah, grant us ikhlas, grant us ilahiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever we do, let us do it for you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever we do, let us do it for you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are sick, Ya Allah, grant them shifa, kamila, ajila, mustamirra, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked on our behalf, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, grant it to us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever he asked for protection on behalf of his ummah, Ya Allah, grant that to us, Ya Allah. Grant us protection from that also, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever gives clothes to to a Muslim without clothes, Allah Ta'ala will give him a green set of clothes to wear in Jannah. And he who gives something to eat to a hungry Muslim, Allah Ta'ala will feed him with the fruits of Jannah. And the one who gives a drink of water to a thirsty Muslim, Allah Ta'ala will give him a drink of sealed wine in Jannah. The sealed wine refers to that holy drink which is indicated in the Holy Quran, which would be reserved for the pious people in Jannah. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَظْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ خِتَامُهُ مِسْكٍ وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu has narrated the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the effect that whoever undertakes to meet the needs of a brother, Allah Ta'ala will look after his needs, and whosoever saves a Muslim from calamity, Allah Ta'ala will protect him from one of his calamities on the Day of Judgment. And when someone provides a dress to a Muslim to cover his body and prevents a disclosure of his shortcomings, Allah Ta'ala will provide for him the same type of cover on the Day of Qiyamah. Several such matters have been mentioned by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Another hadith has it that when someone keeps quiet about some defect in a person, be it concerning his body or behavior, the reward for that will be the same as for digging out of the grave a man who has been buried alive. One hadith says that a person will be rewarded for giving water to a Muslim when the water is available generally, as if he had freed a slave, whereas giving a drink of water to someone where water is scarce will count equal to saving a dying person. One hadith says that the highest sadaqah is to give food to a hungry man or animal. Another hadith says that the virtue which Allah Ta'ala appreciates most is to feed a starving destitute or to pay his debts or to remove his affliction. Ubayd ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu has said that on the day of Qiyamah the people will rise in a state of extreme hunger and thirst and in total nakedness. However, an individual who fed someone for the sake of Allah Ta'ala will be granted food to his fill. Similarly, the one who gave water to someone for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala will have his thirst quenched fully, and the one who gave someone clothes will receive a special dress from Allah Ta'ala.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One youngster had been seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his dream. One day, then the second day, third day, it continued. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taking the name of some individual. Name of the person, his father's name, his family name, and his location. And the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has got a liking for that person. On the first day he saw the dream, he expelled it, perhaps it's just an imagination. But then when he began to see this repeatedly, he felt that there is some substance in this, and it made him go out and investigate. So according to the particulars that he received, he went. Now he saw, to his surprise, the person that's the holder of that name. He's a youngster wearing tights, how youngsters wear tights and jeans and tops, and you've got a television before him, music, and he's jiving with that music, but a small little shop, tea shop, whatever. Now, he's puzzled at checking the reference, the particulars, and then seeing the person. Again, he's checking the reference, and then he sees the person again. He can't just seem to be reconciling. Then he built the courage to go and ask the person, approach the person straight by, this is what's happening, that for 3-4 days, I'm seeing your name. And there must be something in you for a reason to say that he likes you and he's giving me your particulars for your references, your name and the details. So the man didn't want to say anything, and this man, he went on. You know, some people are like a pain in the neck. They want some information, somehow, roundabout, straight, crooked, whichever way, they'll get the name. You know. Want information, they'll do it. You get youngsters now, they want to get married, you see. So they can't ask the youngster, they can't ask the next person, how old is your sister and all that, and how many sisters you got, plus how many members in the family. So that person says 6 persons, and how many brothers. So obviously, whatever he says, that will be the amount of sisters he has. But they can't ask directly, but round about they go and they dig the information. To samajhne wale hote, wo samajh lete ki ye kya kar raha hai. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand what the person is getting up to, see. So anyway, he went on insisting. So he says, you see what happened? Not many years ago, my neighbor had died, leaving a wife and some small child. So I had a good relationship with the young neighbor of mine, and I was shaken up on account of his death. So I made a vow with Allah Ta'ala that whatever I earn, I am not wealthy, but whatever I earn, then half is for this widow and her children. But I made another vow also that as she is young, then I will never have anything to talk. I won't talk to her directly. All the communication will be through my wife. Obviously, it's a young woman, and she can be a victim of abuse. Right? When she is in constraints and she needs assistance, and someone is going to show some type of compassion, then it's easy to lure her, you see. So I don't want that reward of mine to be affected. I'm doing something for Allah Ta'ala, let it be pure. Let it not be contaminated with my nafs and shaitan, etc. So from that time till now, I got this tea shop or coffee shop. I don't say I'm in need of anybody. I don't say I'm very wealthy. I'm making a good living. But I kept to that promise of mine that I will take care of this widow and this orphan children. And alhamdulillah, I haven't broken this vow of mine. I've kept to it. So as a result, as a reward, as a remuneration, this is what you have seen. But I'm shocked that Nabi Sallam is so happy with me. He says, you can see my state. Na kapre ka tikana, na namaz ka tikana, na hal chal ka tikana. I'm not right at all. But I made this vow, and for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for the friendship I had with this person, I said, no, I must promise to look after this person. And ever since, I took good care. And I'm shocked that Allah Ta'ala is so compassionate. His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so considerate towards me, in spite of my poor condition. And he changed his life. Whole life has changed. Began to dress up correctly and modestly. Became punctual in his namaz, etc., etc. But you see how Kareem our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. That they say, Rahmat-e-Khuda bahana mi joyed. Rahmet-i Khuda bahana mi joyed. Khuda Taala ki rahmat bahana talash karti hai. The mercy of Allah Taala looks for an excuse to forgive. Man is in, he's out of the cause, out of the way, complete. If you look at him now, jeans and tops and jiving around, like how the youngsters will do, right? But then Allah Ta'ala wants to throw him into the mercy. So he looks for an opportunity for the person, all right? You also come in. So there's no need for that person, no matter what he is, to feel despondent, is there any place for me as well? Just carry on, commit yourself. Look for an occasion, look for an opportunity, and it may just strike. Okay? To become despondent and not to strive, that is shaitanic. Today, Yusuf read in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يَأْسُمِ الرَّوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Despondency is the work of a kafir. Shaitan becomes despondent. He became despondent. It's not the Muslim that becomes despondent. So no matter what you are, say Mu'ad Rumran, he says that Baz'a, whatever you are, but come back. Come back on the cause. Whatever you may be, no matter how sinful you may be, no matter how wrong you are, but just come back. This threshold of minds is not a threshold of despondency. Come on, come back. You are a Buddhist, you are an idolater, you are a sinner, you made zina, whatever you did. But come back, you'll see my threshold, my doors are open. When did I ever lock my doors? My gates are always flooded with mercy. But come, make an attempt. So all Allah Pak wants is that, are you making an attempt? By the same token, Allah Ta'ala loves this, that you show compassion to others. But whichever way, how much you can do, the ease, the pious, everybody will do khidmat. Ulama and Buzurgan al-Din, everybody will like to do khidmat. I don't say don't do khidmat, but the greater thing is, جو قسمہ پوسی کے عالم میں ہو ان کی خدمت کرو. Muslim doesn't have anybody. A poor person, be a Muslim or a non-Muslim, even a non-Muslim. Sometimes we think, well, only our assistance must be directed only to a Muslim. What is that ayat? لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ. That hidayat is not in your hand. Muslims also thought at a certain time, in the way that we think, or some of us think, that our charitable works must be exclusive to Muslims. This verse was revealed, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. Hidayat is not in your hand. Allah Ta'ala dispenses hidayat to whomsoever He wants. So hidayat is not your hand. You don't get involved in that. That is my work. I will give hidayat to whoever I wish. مَا تُنْفِقُوا. But whatever you spend, whatever charitable works you do, right, you're going to get the reward for it. You did the charitable work for a Muslim, for a non-Muslim, then it's not going to go unchecked. It's going to go checked. You're going to see it. You're going to see the reward. You're going to see the returns. So help the person, whether he's a Muslim, he's a non-Muslim, whatever it is. But you assist the person. Who knows, that can be a turning point in that person's life. It was a widow, it was often, whatever. I repeat this, that when it's a widow, it's a young person, then we don't go straight. Then let some woman be in between. It's not at all healthy, especially in this day, to make a direct approach, even though it's behind a screen or whatever, but it's not at all a healthy approach. But in the meanwhile, she needs to be assisted. The orphan also needs to be assisted, right? It's a widow or an orphan, they need assistance. So one thing we must be very careful of, you don't make a direct approach. Because initially, our hearts will pour out with compassion for that widow or for that orphan, right? Female, right? But eventually the nafs may have the better of us. We'll make advances, we'll make approaches, shaitan, nafs will teach us strange things, you know. We begin to behave in a very, very strange way. How we'll connive and how we'll maneuver and work out a plan. One person was riding a camel now. The camel was extremely beautiful, very beautiful. Now he wanted to kiss the camel's face because of its beauty. Passion got the better over him. People do strange things, very strange things they do. And when you say people do strange things, you don't have to look at people, look at your own history, what we did. We also did do very good things when we were young, right? Teenagers and what we did. But what we did also, Allah Pak knows. And we don't have to go and display it and advertise what we had done. We have also baggages with us. This person now, he wants to kiss this thing's face. But how to maneuver it now and how to get it? Because it's a whole caravan that is moving. And I don't want to be singled out for what I did. Yeah. Now, this type of cases I hear, right? You're counseling marriage, you know. And you hear all the stories, people want to do something, how they go about maneuvering, how about. They want to get to some girl or some person and how they go about doing it. A woman, some days ago, one woman became a widow. So the man went nicely, said, nobody to give groceries, so I'll buy the groceries. And I think in about 3 months' time, he got married to her, finished. 3-4 months, he got married to her. But how he starts off with the with a note of compassion. And after compassion is passion. And after passion is become you become impassionate. And then after that? So don't do it straight. Don't do things directly. One is, even if you don't have the intention, don't do it directly. Because it's a time of fitna. When it's a time of fitna, then people view you differently. What is this person up to? Why is he doing this? So why should you lose your respect? So don't do things that will strip you of your respect. Many times you've got parents, your respect is their respect. Your dishonor is their dishonor. So when you're going to do something disrespectful, then consider your parents also. They're aging. They see these type of things. What do they feel? What goes through their minds? How do their hearts feel? Can we become so selfish that we only worry about our own? Sometimes it may be even permissible. Not that it's impermissible, even if it's permissible, but it's going to have some serious consequences, then don't do it. I'll come back to this camel story, but as the thoughts coming to my mind, I'll just share with you. One person was in Tanabon, youngster. In India, the style is different. Like the madrasas, they will arrange for so many students, the teaching, the boarding, lodging, feeding, all this. Now they got a capacity, they have to live with the capacity. So if they got a capacity of 200, then they will feed so much. They'll take perhaps 15, 20, 30 more, squeeze them in. But if they're going to squeeze so much then, any more, then these 200 will get left out. So then what they do is, they say, all right, the teaching will leave it open, but the feeding, we can only feed so much, we can't feed more than that. Well, if any other student wants to come in, then we don't mind teaching them. But the feeding and all, they must arrange for themselves. So what happens is the town folk, they arrange for these surplus students. They'll say, one household will say, all right, I will take care of 3 children. One will say, I'll take care of 2 children. Children means big, doesn't have to be small. Children doesn't mean 10, 12. If someone is 20, 23, 24, they're all studying. So one youngster came to us, Mautani Ratari, and was studying in the madrasa, and he had his food arrangements in the town. You see. So he came to Maulana, and he says to Maulana, you know what, I've got a problem. See, what happened? See, my food arrangements your people had made with a certain household, but I just want to discontinue it. But why do you want to discontinue your food arrangements? See, this woman here, she's young, right? And it looks like she's widowed. And she's made proposals to me to get married. The youngster is also quite handsome, seems to be beautiful, handsome and intelligent. And that girl is also quite... So she's made one, two proposals to me, so I'm leaving. Now, Al-Mu'tamid had a strange way of correcting people, getting them on the line. So he will get the person a little bit offside, you know. So Ma says to this person here, but so what's wrong if you get married to this girl here? You know, it's a widow, you'll get married, get sawab at least. Uska ghar ban jayega, you know. So she's alone now, at least you get married to her. It's sawab ka kaam hai. You know, you'll fill the house at least. She'll have a companion. And meanwhile, you'll get your food as well. Khana ka khana aur shadi ka shadi. So you'll get both things. In one package, you'll get both. Get your shadi done also, and you'll get your food arrangements done as well. All in the package, you see. Two for the price of one. In fact, two for the price of nothing. He's coming himself, not giving any price. And he's getting a house, and he's getting food. What else he wants? So he said, he used to call Hazrat Muhammad Abbaji. Abbaji hargis nahi, main hargis shadi nahi karunga. Now he's testing him out. What is this person's mind? I'll never get married. But why won't you get married? Some youngsters are thinking, why? If the chance came outside. Ajib, minds work in different ways. Sometimes from the face you can see now this person is a little bit mysterious. So he says, you see, if I get married to this girl here, what's going to happen? The townspeople will say, ye bachche yahan padhne ke liye aate hain ya dusre ki ladkiyon ke sath shaadi karne ke liye aate hain? They are coming here to study, or they are coming to look at other people's daughters and get married to them. What are they coming here for? So it will be a disgrace for the student. Though from my side, my intention is right. I haven't done anything wrong. She made the proposals, right? I didn't make any commitment, I didn't tell her anything. So from my side, there's no wrong. My intention is not flawed. I haven't committed any wrong. But what's the news that's going to be carried, what's the news that's going to be circulating in the town? So this is the news. Okay, this person came here to study, or he came to look for girls and have a good jolly time. So I'm not going to get married. Hazrat Muhammad was very, very pleased with him. I see this youngster and how well he's thinking. He's not just thinking for himself, he's thinking for the whole madrasa. Okay, this is now the bad name that's going to come to the madrasa. So the problem with us is that many a times we just think, and we think very narrow, just to one small point, just to our nose, and beyond that we can't think. We don't reason, we don't understand. Okay, this person is going to do this, and what suspicions? He's going to leave a trail of suspicions. What people are going to say. And then that suspicions impact negatively on deen and people of deen. They come here just to eat, just to enjoy. So this is how the people begin to think. So when they think like that, then is it impacting negatively on deen or not? Does it leave a bad name for deen or not? It leaves a bad name for deen. So rather you have half the slash, don't have it, than taking it and leaving a bad name for deen. For a Muslim, it is important that he exalts the deen of Allah Ta'ala, exalts it, brings some respect to it. He exalts it, elevates it. Whichever way he can exalt, he can elevate. He must not hesitate in doing it. Two areas are very important. One is the area of woman. Anything to do with lust. You must be very clear of it. Don't go near, don't experiment. Remember, I was saying the satis, you know. In the old days, people used to go for hajj on horse, on camel. Ala kulli dhamiri ya'tina min kulli fajjin amik. They're going on a camel that's gone pale, coming from every deep mountain pass, going for hajj, right? So now, as far as traveling is concerned, it's not a problem. So when there isn't a problem in traveling, then are you going to get the same reward? Yes, you'll get the same reward. The trial for that day was different. The day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the trial was different. Difficulties, town to town, slowly, slowly, gradually, all type of weather conditions, and you're traveling and eventually coming for hajj, doing your hajj and going back. So on an average, the journey is taking at least 2-3 months. When they say, إِذَا أَفَلْ وَبَرُوا وَبَرَأَ الدَّبَرُوا وَدَخَلَ سَفَرُوا فَقَدْ حَلَّ الْأُمْرَةُ لِمَنِ اعْتَمَرُ. So the first line was, إِذَا أَفَلْ وَبَرْ. Right? So that journey is taking a long period. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. The average they used to cover, average distance they used to cover a day, was approximately 25 k's. Right? So you can imagine that someone is coming from Syria for Hajj. How many thousand kilometers? How long it will take? So accordingly, you know, let's base it. That is if the man and his conveyance are all right. But if one person is sick, or the animal is not right for that day, parked off for that day, so it delays the whole journey, whole process. So nonetheless, so I explained to them that, see, to me it seems that the reward is going to be the same, but just that the trial will be different. In that zamana, the trial was physical. Now the trial is more spiritual. So he asked now that what do you mean when you say that this trial will be spiritual? I say the trial is spiritual. It's from the time you come to the airport, and there's all turbanzans and all makotis running around everywhere, right? Yeah, this side, that side, all type of clothing. You go to on the plane, you're boarding, and can I get you some tea? Can I get you this? What can I get you? Now you can see that girl is a little bit smart looking, you know. One is the makoti that is serving there, all the people. So you can see now that she's a little bit attractive. She's attractive now. And khamakha bhi, tum unse kuch shakar ka talab karenge. Zara shakar le aao. Shakar le aaye, to zara chai le aao. So you brought some tea. Now you want to build up some relationship, but you don't know how to get about. Because you saw something that you don't see. And even if you see, but that thing that you saw, now she's coming to serve you, you see. So now your heart is melting. Now on the one side you got Hajj, you got Umrah, and one side this thing is Mukodi is coming to serve you now. What do you do? So now your trial is spiritual. Then it was physical, now it is spiritual. So you don't entertain the talk, sweet talking and all. You don't do anything about that. In fact, don't even accept the service. Hazrat Ji Mawlana Masihullah Sahib, you know, you talk of Buzrugan Adi and Mashayikh, so we can't be at that level, right? But he was so particular about this, that if he traveled from India to Durban, right? So far he traveled, right? 8-9 hour journey. But he would just refuse flatly to accept any service from a female. From them. Sometimes a 10-hour, 12-hour journey. Flatly, no service. Well, we will just say, we'll cut short if you say, all right, just leave the meal there. I won't accept it directly from your hands. So that, you know, she's a stranger, I don't accept anything from the stranger. But now his taqwa was like that, that he won't accept anything directly from the female. And he'll prefer not to eat the entire journey. So 12 hours on the plane, you get hungry. Everybody's eating, the smell, everything going around. You want to eat something, but you will not eat anything. 12-hour journey, absolutely nothing. See? Now, أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْبَائِي فَجِئْنِي بِمِثْلِهِمْ إِذَا جَمَعَتْنَا يَا جَرِيرُ الْمَجَاعِمِ. Okay, these are our fathers, spiritual fathers. Then bring the likes. You know, when we made them our spiritual fathers, we made them our spiritual fathers for some reason. Not just because of their talks, not because of orations, not because of their style, no, because of something that was that struck us. Okay, so this one area that you must be very careful is anything to do with lust. Very, very careful. Going for Umrah, going for Hajj. After Ramadan is Hajj, right? So whether it's in the airport, whether it's on the plane, wherever you are, but just anything to do with us. Slight, just an inclination also. Don't let that inclination also confuse you and complicate you. Not for a moment, not for a second. You can see now this thing is going to confuse me. I just move away. So I was giving you the story of this camel. There's two stories, one of Layla and Majnun, and one of another story there, right? So now this person wants to kiss this camel's face. Right? So your nafs ajeeb, ghareeb, tamasha karata hai. What it makes you do. He's planning it out, now how to get it. Because I'm moving with a caravan now. And when I'm moving with the caravan, then I can't be humiliated also, but I have to do the stuff now. How must I do it? So he had some grass or something, a carrot or something, but long, like something long. So he's doing this towards the thing's face. So that thing's turning its face. And he's doing this. He's showing that carrot or whatever, you know, to that camel. So that thing is turning its face. So as he's turning his face, he's pulling the thing. You can see what he's doing. As that thing is turning its face towards that carrot, so he's pulling the carrot towards him until that thing brought its face right to his face. So he grabbed the thing and he did whatever he wanted to do. See? But you see this ajeeb gharib things, what the nafs makes you do. What is this? The nafs makes you do all this. It makes you some stupid thing, real stupid things it makes you do. So what I'm getting at is the trial in this age, right, is this type, is a spiritual trial. Spiritual trial. So we need to guard ourselves in that respect, going for Hajj, whatever. And now that I'm going for some years like this for Umrah, you know, Ramadan, whatever it is, I come to a conclusion, I don't think it's the right thing to take your woman and go for Umrah, Nafil Umrah, etc. I don't think at all, it's not the right thing. To the Hajj, bus, finish, kalas. Even for an outing and here, there and all that, this must be decreased. Because the level of barda, etc., that is required and desired, they're not observing it. If they're observing it, the next person is not observing it. Sometimes they want to observe it, and sometimes it happens that the people that are around, they're not observing it. They want to be offering some kindness to your wife, to your daughter. It's your daughter, it's your respect. That person has to be more kind towards your daughter, towards your wife. And then everybody, it becomes like a merry-go-round. That whole trip of Umrah and all that becomes like a joyride, like you're going to the Bergs now. Everybody comes for free for everybody. It's your respect, your wife, your mother, your daughter, etc. And how easy it is for that person to communicate. Say, Ben, you want something, Ben? But I get something for you. Everybody came, Ben, Haji Ben, and Haji Bhai. Everybody came, brothers and sisters. So, what connected you all? So, just to see Ben and all that, after that, what happens? This is you playing it with emotions and sentiments, and it's the nafs that is playing with you. If some person looks like a little bit of a pious person, then they want to start him also. Then if the man is not starting the conversation, the girl is starting. This masala, I want to know. What about this thing here? Now they make a direct conversation. Now, he may not be a mulana, but he knows a couple of maslas. Right? But even if he's a mulana, it doesn't mean that he's immune from his feelings. Right? Does it mean that he's a mulana, so he's immune from his feelings? No. Unke andar bhi nafs hai, shaitan, aur nafs uske saath bhi hai. He also got shaitan and nafs. Only the person that doesn't have shaitan and nafs is the person that's died and he's in the cupboard now. Cupboard is no nafs than shaitan. Until he's got some life, then he needs to be very, very careful. So I say that today the trial, as I see it, is more spiritual. So if you want to take care of yourself, from the time you board the plane, from the time you come to the airport, right till you return, even in the haram, one person is making tawaf, you know, pious person, and he's making tawaf. So in the tawaf, he's making dua. A'udhu bika minka. Allah Ta'ala, I ask refuge from yourself. I ask protection from yourself. So someone asked, "Pai, you know, we saw a lot of people making tawaf, a lot of people making dua, but we didn't see anybody doing something like what you are doing. You're asking Allah Ta'ala's refuge from himself." So, "Yeah, Pai, you see, I lost one eye. What happened? I was making tawaf. And in the tawaf, I caught sight of one girl. And I started admiring her. One person is telling me, when I mentioned this story, so one person is telling me, well, I can understand why. Because in the tawaf day, you're getting a variety. You're getting India, Pakistan, China, Japan, Indonesia, everywhere. What you've never seen, a whole variety you're getting. So when you're getting a variety, then you want to see. So this person began to admire that girl. And where he is in the tawaf. In that place where every Nabi set foot on. From Adam alayhi salam to the Nabi, nearly every Nabi had set foot on the same spot. 124,000 Sahaba kiram had set foot on. All great awliya had set foot on. Today, napak people like us are there. And then what are we doing? Do we think like this? Or we come here just for a joyride? So you come to these places, you come with that mindset, where I come here and I come for something else. I didn't come for a joyride. I didn't come to entertain myself. I didn't come for a holiday. I come for some great, noble purpose. My stay may be short, but I must achieve something and go from here. I don't want it that whatever I've achieved, I lose everything. This place is noble. It's a auspicious place, auspicious occasion. So I need to see this. So anyway, I admired that girl. And the nafs had the better over me. I was admiring right in that place. And there from the Kaaba Sharif, one hand came and slapped me, and you see, I lost my one eye. And that voice told me, this is the first time you're doing it. So you lost one eye. Now I'm afraid that I don't do this thing again. Bas ek hi aankh hai, ye bhi khatam ho jayegi abhi, see. That's why I say, nowadays the better thing is, when people have become so inconsiderate, when people have become so inconsiderate, the better thing for a woman, they did your faras, they stay at home. Hadi summa luzumul husr. Perhaps it may apply for this age. After you have done your faras, now people are not taking care. Not taking it's your own wife, it's your daughter, it's someone. You have cases, people go there and get involved in wrong. You're getting hearing of cases. Not that is what I'm saying is not fairy tales. You go there, right there, get involved, come back. Now, if it's your daughter, it's your wife, what happens then? So, Hajj you can't afford. But after that, I tell them, all right, we'll give you something else. But in this park places, please. And we can't keep that level of respect, can't maintain that level of respect that is required. Then we don't want to lose the little bit we have got, we don't want to lose that. But the better thing is then we don't go for it. I was thinking like this for some time. I mentioned this to someone also. Today I'm looking at the Hazrat Muhammad Malfuzat. Now, Malfuzat came about 100 years ago. 100 years ago. And he's saying the same thing. I was surprised that he's saying the same thing. That Faraz Hajj, we have to go. But apart from a furrow search, I don't think it's good for women to be traveling on a train. So at that time, there wasn't a plane, right, 100 years ago. Or it wasn't so much in vogue, right? And he discovered that. I don't think it's a good thing for them to travel. Yes, if it's a totally private, there's no third person that is sharing the vehicle. It's a different thing. But here, you're going by train or you're going by plane. So there are people going to be that are going to be sharing it. When they're going to be sharing it, you can't control their thinking. You can't control their behavior. You can't control what they're going to do. It's the respect of your wife. It's the respect of your daughter. It's your respect, how you're going to conduct yourself. So then what's the safer thing? By the non-taker. You can't control the situation. You think that person is Haji Bhai and Haji Ben, and they're coming to talk to you and all that, so you must, you know, there's a Haji Bhai, so you must respect them. In the process, what's happening? What people are doing? See? So the little that you are getting, that is getting lost. The little sawab that you are earning, that is getting lost. So this is one area that I say, you know, if you be very careful. Was so careful in this regard. He says that even if a girl wants to make her isla, a woman has to make her isla, that she mustn't do it directly. She must get her father or husband to see the letter, initial it. He must sign and he must send it. The girl mustn't communicate with the sheikh directly. They mustn't do it. Because if they're going to be communicating with the sheikh directly, I ask you, are they immune of the effects of the nafs? Are they immune? Immune. They also got nafs. Do you say that women don't have nafs? And you don't have nafs? Whoever it is, Hazrat should say that Farishta bhi ho jaye, bharosa nahi is nafse ammara ka. What? Bharosa nahi is nafse ammara ka. This nafs, you can't trust it for a moment. Farishta bhi ye ho jaye, even if it exalted to the position of a farishta. What is he saying? Even the nafs became so pure, so disciplined, it came to the position of a farishta. Right? You know, farishta can't commit a sin. So your nafs became so disciplined that you brought it to the level of a farishta. Usse badguma rehna. Then too, you must be treating your nafs with suspect. Be suspicious about it. Don't become complacent with the nafs. It's so dangerous, it's so difficult. Even if it becomes like a farishta, then too you don't. Someone's daughter, someone's wife, someone's sister, someone's mother. Oh, these are all dangerous things, very, very dangerous things. One is this, in traveling. The other thing is, right, even within the home, see, as the woman is, her children are growing up, right? They're coming of age. Then she needs to act her age. If she's 35, 40, then she can't act like 16. I'm getting complaints now, right? Boys coming of age, 17, 18, and their mothers are dressing up with jeans and all type of tops and all the type of things. Now, they're seeing their mothers in that type of an attire. These youngsters are complaining that not that we are attempting, we have already done. We have already tried lustfully touching our mothers, sometimes the breast, sometimes the stomach, sometimes the back and all that. We're touching these things. Youngsters are talking about it. But that's the fault of the woman. Why is the fault of the woman dressing up like that? If you've gone now 30 now, and your child is about 14, 15, is coming off of age, and you're dressing up like that. When you're dressing up like that age, you are dressing up like that, the child is getting tempted. He can't resist himself, he can't hold himself. When he can't hold himself, then he's touching his mother. Now, that creates hurmat-e musaharat. Now, that results in the marriage breaking up. Understand? So his mothers mustn't act stupidly. And by the same token, they mustn't dress their young children like that as well. See, as a child, a girl, naturally she is beautiful. Right? Allah has kept beauty in a girl. Even at the age of 4, 5, 6, 7, naturally there is some beauty in a girl. Right. Now, that is natural. Allah made them like that. They made them beautiful. Now, over that, the mothers want to doll them up. Right. And when they're dolling them up now, they're looking even more attractive. Now, that is the reason for abuse. You want them to be dolled, but you want them not to be abused. How do you work it out? See, how do you work it out? So, I say that the trial in this age, the test in this age is that it's more spiritual. See the Bani Israel, when they all said they want to go over in jihad. Right? Hey, will. مَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا أَبْنَانِ. Hey, we will go, brave guys, we will go in jihad. You know, we've already been pulled out of our homes. So you think we won't go in jihad? We will fight the enemies. So Allah Ta'ala set out a trial for them. Trial was, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرْ. This is the trial. When you want to go to your enemy, you know, you're going to come across a river. And you're going to come across a river where it's going to be very thirsty. So you're not allowed to drink from that. That's a trial. See? So trials can change. Like I said, the trial now is spiritual. How are you going to conduct yourself? In the Haram Sharif, in the hotel, in the foyer, in the eating times, in the plane. How are you going to control yourself? So that time also, there was a trial. The trial was according to that age. So how you're traveling and you're coming across a river, Allah is going to trust you. You're not supposed to be drinking. Why are you thirsty now? You come to a river, crystal clear water, and you must not drink. Now, the question is, why were this Bani Israel tested in this manner? They're not in jihad, and why they were tested out in this manner? The reason is obvious. The reason is, see, in jihad what counts is your stability, how firm you are. You're firmly rooted or you're shaken. Right? Because when there's a call of jihad, everybody says, hey, you want to go. Go Iraq, go ISIL, go. When the call, everyone wants to go. But that person really wins the test, who can stand the situation. Right? That's why when our people went to Afghanistan, those Afghanistan people said to our people, you know, by your South Africans, just go back. Don't go make jihad there. Because to take care of one South African, all made up in, you know, cotton wool, coke and chips, you're coming up, brought up. So to take care of one of you people, we need four Afghanistan to take care of you people. So we must make jihad, or we must look after you people. You rather just say South Africa, make dua for us. That's all. Not fit for that. So when the call comes, everyone wants to go. Can you stand the terrain? Can you stand? Have you got the ability, enduring? Right? All type of situations you have to endure. Have you got the strength? So now, to test your endurance, Allah Pak is pushing you. He's putting you right to the limit. You are really thirsty. And when you're really thirsty, you're coming across a river. At that time, you mustn't drink. Illa ghurfatan biyad. You can take one hand scoop, that's all. Not more than that. Anybody's going to do more than that, he feels the test. That he won't be able to endure the enemy. So this test will change with the time. According to the time, according to the person, individual, there'll be test. So this is the test in this time. It's lust. See, lust. So that lust have to be bust. Just bust the thing. You get through, inshallah. Make niyat from today, huh? Make niyat. Anything to do with woman, anything. Even if it's suspicious, even if your niyat is right, but don't go near. Don't go near. Don't keep a woman as a receptionist. Right? Obviously now, she's looking for some perks, right? For perks, then it won't come free. She wants perks and you want some service and attention. So that perks don't... Both sides, you know, you have to play. She has to play her side, you will look at her favorably. So it doesn't come for free. So don't do anything that is suspicious. It's bad business, it's bad relationship, it's your integrity, respect, everything goes. Just a little bit of pleasure, everything gets wiped out. So for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of your deen, just take care of this thing here. Inshallah, will go a long way. The main, most important thing is your eye. After your eye is your tongue. Most of the slips is with your tongue. Most. You know, the Marhum Shotamata's wife was my mother's very thick friend. So, she used to come, evidently every week she used to come home. So, she says to my mother one day, that the day I got married, you know, Shotamata's wife is saying my mother, the day I got married, now my brother, her brother was my Yusuf's father, you see. My brother is telling me, if you do anything, you must think three times. Don't just go and do anything. Anything you want to say or you want to do, then you must think three times before you do it. Okay, what will be the immediate effect? What will be the short-term consequence? What will be the long-term consequence? Don't do it straight away. You do straight away, then you can have regrets. But you must... Now, she's saying to my mother, okay, I don't know what's wrong with my brother. Everything, tan vichar. Three times must think about it. Then it took me about 20 years to understand what my brother was saying. It's so deep what he was saying. That when you think and do something, immediate, what will be the immediate consequence, short term, long term, that you don't have regrets. But you just do it. Just do it. Don't think about it and just do it. Then you'll have regrets afterwards. Money came, you just spent it. Don't you have regrets? Something came in your mind, you just said it. I say, hey, why did I say this thing here? It spoiled my relationship. Yeah. So you think about it three times before you embark on anything. You won't have regrets. So one is the eye, and the other is the tongue. The hadith also said by my Yazmanli, take care of your lust and take care of your tongue, and I will take care of your jannat. But so simple. Take care of lust and tongue, and I will take care and guarantee your jannat. So, any volunteers for that? Yeah? Anybody volunteers? All volunteer. Take care of your lust and take care of your tongue. So easy. The jannat is so easy. Allah Baktawfiq.